Chris Watkin here, and I'm joined by Ellie Rees, who is an estate agent in London, and recently in Negotiator, she did a piece about gender pay gaps and the board compositions of the big firms in estate agency. Ellie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Chris.
In a second, I'm going to go through some quite startling numbers about the average pay gap, the bonus gap, and the makeup of boards. But before we go through those startling numbers, which will absolutely blow your mind, why should we concern ourselves with these big firms when they only make up a small portion of the estate agency market?
Do they make up only a small portion?
Well, we're talking about Savills, we're talking about Knight Frank, we're talking about Chestertons, Foxtons, Winkworths. You know, these are big names in the industry, but probably their total market share probably only equates to no more than 5-6% nationally.
Well, they're big names in the industry. They're companies that shout incredibly loudly about their success and their listings and their numbers and their volume. And I think that what they do is they set a sort of tone, particularly for the public perception of what estate agents are like. Okay. And they are the big corporates. I mean, they have a responsibility. We look to them for the model to a certain extent. Of course, there are other options and other ways of doing it. But I think that it's so loud and they're so visible that we really need to call them out on these numbers, because they are absolutely shocking and they're irrefutable. And also they don't seem to be acknowledging that it's an issue.
Okay, so let's just go through some of the headlines. And boys and girls in estate agency land, these numbers are certainly eyebrow raising. Savills gender pay gap, 43%.
Yeah.
Bonus gap, 80%.
Yeah.
And their board is made up of 10 people, seven men and three women, but all three women are non-execs.
Yeah.
So would you say a non-exec is just there for a token?
You said that. I wouldn't say that.
And okay. Rephrase that. Are non-execs generally just there just to
numbers up? I spoke to Claire Hughes at EXP the other day, who runs a women in estate agency Facebook group, and she said non-execs don't count. Right. Now, that's quite a strong position to take. But ostensibly, it's good to have those voices at the table and it's good to have that perspective. But they are not the decision makers.
They're just there once a month just to.
Not the decision makers. Okay. They're not voting on policy. They're not, you know, they're not having any real and meaningful impact. And when you have a board that is that lacking in diversity, it just can't be good for anybody, including the company itself, by the way, because diversity equals.
I used to work for a PLC, and I know exactly what you mean with regard to the non-execs. I've been in plenty of meetings, and it's the executives that actually do all the decision-making. Let's go to someone else. KFH, the gender pay gap, more reasonable at 9.1%, but the bonus gap, 74%.
And when you say bit more reasonable, that's still nearly 10%, and it's not even remotely reasonable.
Better than Savills, though.
Better than Savills, but I mean, better than really, really, absolutely, shockingly, terrifyingly awful.
Okay, let's move on to Knight Frank. Gender pay gap 22.3%, but bonus gap 55%.
What are the board composites of these ones?
Okay,
so I do know because I did the research, but.
Okay, so Knight Frank, 8 people on the board, 6 men and 2 women, and the 2 women are both non-execs.
There we are. There's a pattern forming.
Okay, then. Purple Bricks, 7 people on the board, 2 women, both non-execs. Winkworth.
Purple Bricks have a better gender pay gap, though, right? And, like, much, much, much better.
Okay, well, they all get paid the same there, don't they? So.
Well, but it's also possibly because of the way in which, the workforce is structured.
Let's look at Winkworth's. 5 people on the board, all men. Remember Winkworth's is a franchise.
It's a franchise. It doesn't have to report the gender pay gap. But what I think is, whilst the gender pay gap is mandatory to report on if you are 250 employees plus, I think that it shouldn't necessarily be an obligation. I think it's their responsibility to interrogate the gender inequality within their workforce anyway. Well, I'm going to give you a Winkworth quote. You know what they said when they were asked about their board of directors?
Yeah.
They said they were happy and confident that it was well balanced.
Okay.
5 men, no women. They were happy and confident that it was well balanced.
Okay, but there's balance in what sex you are, but then there's also balance gender, but there's also race and other things. But we, you know.
Yeah, of course there are. But women make up 50 to over 50% of the population.
Fair goes then.
And also, we're representing our clients and the people that we service, and half of them are women. And yes, of course, I'd like to see more general diversity. I'd like to see more people of colour. Of course I would. It's about sexuality. It's about gender. It's about ethnicity. It's about lots of things. But if we're talking about women, which is what I'm talking about in terms of this particular statistic, it's not good enough to just say there's five men and it's well balanced and that's fine.
Okay, so Foxton's gender pay gap 21%.
Yeah.
Median bonus pay gap 59%.
Yeah. Do you know that Foxton's, interestingly, I think had the most positive retort, which was that they were quite engaged in addressing the issue. They're also the only one of all of these companies that I looked at who have done their gender pay gap report for 2021 early. They filed it early. Chesterton's filed it late last time, which I think is interesting.
Well, their gender pay gap 6%, but their bonus pay gap 78%.
Huge. Huge.
Okay, but honestly, is it their responsibility to, you know, their responsibility has to be to their shareholders. They make a small percentage of the market share in terms of estate agents. Do you think there's some responsibility, you say, because they're in the spotlight to be more equitable?
Absolutely. It's really simple. And also, it is better for business. Diversity and equality is better for business. You have a happier, healthier, more productive workforce. There's a term called groupthink. And it's about raising the collective intelligence of any one given group, okay? And there's endless data on this. What research shows is that the more diverse that group is, so the more different your team is, the more different skill sets you have, the more different perceptions you have, the more different insights you have, the more varying degrees of background you have, the more intelligent, pioneering, innovative your company will become. And therefore, it will ultimately become more profitable.
So are you of the opinion that what's holding these firms back is because they're full of probably white middle-aged males, that's potentially holding them back as estate agents?
Potentially. I think that there's a real resistance to change. I've got an interesting stat for you. I think you might quite like it because it's about the organisation that we all love to hate. But one of the most successful, pioneering and profitable organisations in property is not an estate agent, is it? It's Rightmove. Mm-hmm. Huge monopoly. Stranglehold. 50% board of directors, women.
And they're executive, not no.
Yeah. And I don't see that as... I don't see how that can possibly be a coincidence.
What do these firms need to do? Is it intentional? Is it unintentional?
I think often it's unintentional. And I think we talk a lot at the moment, don't we, about unconscious bias and these invisible prejudices within culture, particularly within a state agency. It seems to be very male. I think that what they can do is... So interestingly, this is policy, okay? So it's government policy, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But we have to look at things like maternity and paternity leave and pay and parental leave. And we're going to talk about motherhood and parenting, I think.
We are in another video.
In another video. But we can't really leave that out of the equation because it does look like there's a fallout at the point at which women may well have families. So that definitely needs to be looked at and addressed. But I think the other thing is we can look at having quotas. Germany brought in a 30% mandatory quota for women in terms of executive boards for their public limited companies. And I think that...
When did that come in?
Really recently, like within the past couple of months, 30%. Now, I don't think that will become government policy, but why don't we look at making that company policy for some of these companies? Why don't they really interrogate their diversity and inequality issues? So I think it's about kind of doing deep dives into the culture.
let's explore that in the next video. Thank you. Okay.